As we come to God's Word this morning, as we open God's Word, have this time before Him, I want to begin this morning with a rather morbid, I guess it would be, depressing thought. If this was the day that God had destined for you to die, what would be said about you? What could be said of you? Could it be said of you what the Apostle Paul was inspired to speak of himself in 2 Timothy 4:7, where he said, "I have finished the course." I know we often read that and we think, well, that's obvious. You're about to die. You finished the course. But the idea there is not so much that you've come to the finish line. The idea is there that you touched all the bases on the way to the finish line. You know, several years ago, probably 20 or 30 years ago now, there's an individual who ran the Boston Marathon and whose time was quite good. In fact, it was a lot better than what anybody, no one ever heard of this individual. And they couldn't imagine why he was able to, you know, come out of nowhere, so to speak, no one knowing who he was, and then to finish so well in the marathon. Well, they began to look back at the judges along the route, and they found out very quickly and easily why he did so well in the Boston Marathon. He had cut out about two-thirds of the course and only ran the last little bit. Well, of course, he got to the finish line, but he had not finished the course. He had not truly, completely, totally run the race. He had not finished the course, as Paul was able to say under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit about himself. And so if today was that day for you, would it be said of you truly and accurately that you had finished the course, that you had touched the bases, that you had done what God called you to do, that you had fulfilled your purpose for His life? There are several different ways we have of expressing that thought, but would you have finished the course? Well, what is necessary for us to do that? You know, whether we're young or whether we are seasoned, I'll be very careful as I say that this morning, or somewhere in between, we need to be seeking to finish the course, especially however many days God has given us past this one, if we even have this one to live out. What is it that we need to do to finish the course, to truly to fulfill God's calling and purpose for our lives? Well, we get some ideas about that when we come to Genesis chapter 23 and we look at the death and burial of Sarah. And as we look at this passage, we see that how Sarah and Abraham lived their life. We get some insight into that. And we see the truths, the lessons that we need to apply, whether we're young or old or somewhere in between. I better say seasoned. We don't have any old people in this church. Seasoned, maybe. But what we need to be doing to fulfill the course, to finish the course, to fulfill the purpose and the calling. And so look with me as we look at Genesis chapter 23, as we begin working our way through this passage. What you and I need to do to finish the course, to fulfill the calling, to truly live out the life that God intended for us to have. As we look at Sarah's life, look at the lessons that are unmistakable here. We see number one, prepare for eternity. And you might think, well, that's a strange place to begin. But the simple truth is, and you've probably have heard this said before, I'm certainly it's not original with me, but you're not ready to live if you're truly not ready to die. Only when you have that issue straightened out can you truly begin to live. And it's only when we truly see how short life is and we put it in perspective against eternity can we know what to do with this thing called life for however long it is that God has given unto us. And you think about how we see this with Sarah. Look at verses 1 and 2. Genesis 23, look at verses 1 and 2. Now Sarah lived 127 years. These are the years of the life of Sarah. Sarah died at Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan, and Abram went in to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Now, I want you to think about that. Sarah, throughout her life, had been strong, been resilient, had in fact been beautiful, but Sarah died. You may be here this morning, and you may be healthy, you may be fit, you may even be young or still youngish. But the day is going to come when you will die. And it may even be this one. Are you truly prepared? You think about what the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews 9:27. You think about this tremendous, sobering verse. And inasmuch as it is appointed for man to die once, and after this comes the judgment. If this was that day that was appointed for you, are you truly prepared? You know, Matthew Henry, the pastor, commentator of the 1700s, made this observation. I'm going to paraphrase it more in our 21st century English and way of thought. He said, you know, as careful as we are to think about and prepare the burial for our burial place for our death, we need to be even more careful to think about the resting place for our soul. You think about it. You think about the, you know, funeral plans we make, and certainly want to honor those who passed away. But as important as it is to think about where you're going to put that body, you need to think about where your soul is going to go. And if this was the day for your appointed time to die, where would your soul be? There's only one way to truly prepare for eternity, and that's by placing your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. Apart from Him, you're not prepared for eternity. The eternity that you're facing is one of eternal judgment in hell. It is only through faith in Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, who lived the holy life that you could never do, died in your place to pay the price for your sins, was buried and rose again. It is only by putting your faith, your trust, your confidence in Him that you can be prepared for eternity. And until you're prepared for eternity, you're not prepared for life. And as you sit here this morning, have you truly, personally trusted the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about church stuff, if you will. I know it's Sunday morning in the middle of a pandemic, on Labor Day weekend in the middle of a pandemic, and we're in church. Very easy for us to feel very religious and pious about ourselves. But do you personally know Jesus Christ? Because only through Him is there salvation. Are you really prepared for eternity? Because until that issue is decided, you're not prepared to live. You're not touching the bases, and you ought to be terrified about getting to the finish line. Only through Jesus Christ are we truly prepared for eternity. And do you personally know Him? Again, not religion. A relationship with God through Jesus Christ, where you have put your personal trust and confidence that He died and rose again for you. We need to prepare for eternity. But notice what else we see. Number two, prize your days. Think back again, verse 1. Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. You know, I know we read that and we think 127 years. Wow, that is a long time. But it was just so long. 127 years of days, but there were just so many of them. Child of God, do you realize just how important this day is? This day that God has given unto you? You know, we often, you know, you probably have sung the praise hymn at one time or another. It comes from Psalm 118:24. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You think, I know you've probably heard that so many times, sung it so many times, hadn't thought about it. But you think about what's being said there. This is the day which the Lord has made. God created this day. He brought you in this day. He's given you this day. The fact that you are alive today, God has in fact given that to you. Do you realize how special that makes this day and every single day? And we need to recognize the gift, the beauty, the wonder, the responsibility of this day that God has put before us. You think about what Moses was inspired to write. Look at Psalm 90. We'll look at verse 10 and then we'll look at verse 12. Psalm 90, verse 10. As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Some of you have been blessed more than that. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow. For soon it is gone and we fly away. Look at verse 12. Here comes the thought that comes out of that. So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. The idea there of numbering that day doesn't just mean 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, however many of you run out of fingers and toes pretty quickly. But the idea there being that that day, this day, is important. God has given it to you. It is a treasure, and it is also a responsibility. It is also a sense of accountability. What are you doing with this day? And we need to prize our days. I love how Paul is inspired to write about this over in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. If you're reading it in the King James, it talks about redeeming the time. The idea there is to seize the opportunity. The term there actually came out of the first century business world. The idea, the picture there is like a business person, you know, seeking to make the most of every opportunity that presents them. You know those who are very successful, they never, you know, they are always looking for an opportunity. When an opportunity comes, they make the most of it. That is how we need to look at each day that God has given to us. It is, in fact, an opportunity. It is a treasure. It needs to be prized. We need to prize our days. See them that they are a wonderful, tremendous blessing and treasure, and to make the most of them as God wants us to do. Each day, you know, we talked about touching all the bases a moment ago. It's as if each day is a base that needs to be touched. You know, if you've had a health scare in your personal life, or you have had a loved one who's had a health scare, you realize, you know, just how weak and frail and edgy life can be, and you realize just how valuable it is. You know, one of the, I guess, weird benefits from being a pastor, because so much of your life involves around, I'll just be blunt, death and dying. It is amazing the perspective it gives you. And you realize how most things that most people get all focused on really isn't all that important. You know, of course, I haven't been able to do it since the whole COVID thing. But you know, it's amazing when you're able to help, you know, with health, walk out underneath the exit sign of a hospital, how blessed you are. It is a blessing. It is a treasure. We need to prize our days. The only reason we have this day is because God has chosen to give it to us, chosen to give it to you. And He didn't just randomly, flippantly do it. He has a plan, a purpose. This is one of those bases. Every day is a base, so to speak. And we need to touch the base of that day. Do what God's called us to do that day. We need to prize each day. I want you to think about it, believer. What is it that you are needing to do? Something that God's placed upon your heart? Maybe some calling, something He's called you to do? Maybe some area in your life that needs to be made right with the Lord? Maybe some sin that needs to be forsaken? Whatever the case may be. What is it that you need to do that God wants you to do this day? You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Quite frankly, you're not guaranteed this afternoon. You need to prize the day. You need to prize this day. You need to touch the base of this day. If we are going to truly live out the life that God intended, if we're truly going to touch all the bases, as Paul talked about, we need to prize our days. But then notice number three. We need to pursue God's plan. That is, actively follow what God wants us to do. Look at verses 3 and 4. Then Abraham arose from before his dead and spoke to the sons of Heth, saying, I am a stranger and a sojourner among you. Give me a burial site among you that I may bury my dead out of my sight. For all these years, Abraham and Sarah had lived in tents. Why? Because God had called them to live there by faith as sojourners. Every day they had sought to live out God's promises and God's calling. And now Abraham desires a burial place there. Why? Again, as a statement of faith that God had promised them that land, not only for him, but for the generations to come after him. And that land, in fact, would always be theirs. It is a statement of faith. They were committed to fulfilling God's will. What has God called you to do? I once heard Ron Dunn give the best definition I ever heard of success. I know people always try to define success. This is Ron Dunn's definition of success. Finding out what God wants you to do and doing it. If you've done that, you're a complete success. Are you this day doing what God has called you to do? Jim Elliot, the missionary who was martyred back in the 50s in South America, once had made this observation, wherever you are, be all there. God's led you to this point this day. You need to be completely there doing what God's called you to do. And you think of the biblical characters you see doing this, certainly Abraham throughout his lifetime. You think about Moses, David, both of them shepherding up until God called them. You think about the disciples. They were doing different jobs, but they were doing their jobs when our Lord, in fact, called them. You think about Matthew was there at the tax, shouldn't have been at the tax collector's thing, but he was doing his job there. You think about those like Peter, John, fishermen, they were busy doing what God called them to do up to that point. They were diligent up to that point, doing what God called them to do, and then they were diligent beyond that. Are you actively seeking to do what God has called you to do? We need to be pursuing God's plan, not just in what we do, but in how we do it. Look at what we see in verses 5 through 18. Look at the obvious respect that the people living around Abraham had for him. Look at verses 5 through 18. The sons of Heth answered Abraham, saying to him, Hear us, my lord, you are a mighty prince among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of our graves. None of us will refuse you his grave for burying your dead. So Abraham rose and bowed to the people of the land, the sons of Heth. And he spoke with them, saying, If it is your wish for me to bury my dead out of my sight, hear me and approach Ephron, the son of Zahor, for me, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he owns, which is at the end of his field. For the full price, let him give it to me in your presence for a burial site. Now Ephron was sitting among the sons of Heth, and Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the hearing of the sons of Heth, even all who went in at the gate of his city, saying, No, my lord, hear me. I give you the field. I give you the cave that is in it. In the presence of the sons of my people, I give it to you to bury your dead. And Abraham bowed low before the people of the land. He spoke to Ephron in the hearing of the people of the land, saying, If only you please to listen to me, I will give you the price of the field. Accept it from me that I may bury my dead there. Then Ephron answered Abraham, saying to him, My Lord, listen to me. A piece of land worth 400 shekels of silver, what's that between me and you? So bury your dead. Abraham listened to Ephron, and Abraham weighed out for Ephron the silver which he named in the hearing of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, commercial standard. So Ephron's field, which is in Machpelah, which faced Mamre, the cave and the field and the cave which was in it, and all the trees which were in the field and all that were within the confines of its border were deeded over to Abraham for possession in the presence of the sons of Heth before all who went in at the gate of his city. Notice somewhat long passage. And obviously there you see the typical ancient way of negotiating, kind of edging your way into the actual transaction there. But what I want you to see was the obvious respect that these individuals living around Abraham, who had watched him for decades, they respected his integrity, they respected his honesty, They respected him as a man of his word. Not only had Abraham pursued God's will in the things he did, we can check off accomplishments, but also in the way that he had done them. We talk about being salt and light as our Lord talked about. It's obvious that's what Abraham had done through all those years. You think about, the other biblical characters we talked about, the way in which they did it. 1 Corinthians 10:31 tells us this, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Again, you think about this day that God has given to you, the various things that God has put before you to do. We not only need to seek to accomplish those things, but we need to seek to accomplish them in a way that honors and glorifies God. That God is honored through what we do. So are you pursuing God's plan, making the most of this day to the honor and the glory of God? That's how we touch that base. That's how we finish the course. But then notice something else that we see from Abraham and from Sarah. We need to plan, number four, plan on God's word. That means we base our thinking, our decisions, we base what we do and say on God's word. Look back at verses 19 and 20. After this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field at Machpelah, facing Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. So the field and the cave that was in it were deeded over to Abraham for a burial site to the sons of Heth. You think about this. God had called them to the land. God had promised them the land. And so this is why the decision was made to bury Sarah there. And by the way, Abraham would be buried in that cave, as would Isaac, as would Rebekah, as would Leah and Jacob as well. Why? It was based on God's word. Abraham's decisions, his actions, his values, his opinions were based on God's word. I want you to think about the way in which you live your life. What motivates you when you make decisions? Do you simply do what everybody else does? I mean, you might do it a little more cleaner than what they do. But are you just kind of following along the same path that everybody else does? This is what everybody else does at this age, so this is what I do at this age. Again, the sanctified, cleaned version. Or do you truly live your life? God, this is what your word says I need to do. Lord, this is what you're telling me within my heart as I can weigh it out against your word to make sure, confirm it. I'm going to follow you. God, the whole world seems to be going this way, but your word says to go this way. The whole world thinks this way about this subject matter now, but God, you say something completely different. God, I accept what you say as true and real and my guide, and I'm in fact going to follow you. You remember the illustration that our Lord used when he concluded the Sermon on the Mount? Remember how he talked about the man who built his house upon the rock? And that one was able to stand. This is what we're talking about. Building upon God's word. Because if you try to build your house on anything else, you'll be like the first man he talked about who built his house on the sand and the storm came and it washed away. The only way your life is going to be able to be strong and resilient, to withstand the storms, to go the distance, is to build it on God's word. Abraham and Sarah, they built their life, they based their life upon what God said. Abraham, this whole decision to be buried there is because he knew that God had promised him and his descendants forever that land, and they wanted to be buried there for it. You think about the decisions that you're making in your life right now, whatever age or chapter of your life you're in. Are you really basing them upon God's word? Because if you're not, not only are you not touching the base that God has for you to touch at this point in time, you're off course. And you'll never be back on course until you come back to what He says. We need to, in fact, plan, base our lives on God's Word. You know, I'm sure every one of us in this room, we want our life to count. We want it to honestly fulfill the purpose that God has for it. Are you going to be like Abraham and Sarah and do what is necessary to accomplish that? Now, make no mistake again, one way or the other, you're going to come to the finish line. Probably sooner than what you want to. But the question is, are you going to touch all the bases that God has for you on the way and accomplish what He has for you? Are you truly going to live out the life that God intended? Are you going to finish the course? You're going to get to the finish line one way or the other. But are you going to touch all the bases? Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Father, again, we thank You for creating us. Oh God, giving us life. Father, we thank You for the eternal life, the spiritual life, the real life that's found in Your Son. And Father, we thank You for this day of life. Oh God, You have given it to us. It is a gift, a treasure, oh God, from You. And Lord, as we think about living this day and our days before You, oh Lord God, may we accomplish what You have for us to do. Lord, lead us to examine ourselves now before You. First of all, oh Lord, for genuine salvation. Father, reveal to us whether we are truly born again or merely religious on a Sunday morning. And Father, bring any here to genuine salvation, O God, if they're not born again. Father, for every believer, O God, may we live to fulfill the calling, the purpose that You have for us. O Lord God, whether You give us many days or few, Father, when we reach the finish line, may we, O God, have truly finished the course, touched all the bases, lived out the life that You intended for us. O God, may we be faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.